Today's message is called The Betrayal. Open up your Bibles to Matthew. You might need to take some notes on this one, if you take notes. You know, we recorded all those services for Passion Week, like Pastor Keith was talking about. And if you would like to get one, you need to see Sister Gwen.
Hey.
Where's Sister Gwen at? Stand up for Sister Gwen. Put your order in, because we're not just going to start making sets and then just have them sit around. But you need to get one of these sets. It's the gift of $15, and you'll get a set from Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then the seven last words over at St. Francis from Friday. I guarantee you, it will bless you beyond measure. Amen. So make sure you get it. Is that your TV? I knocked mine over, Phil, right in the trash can. That's a thank God. Amen. So as we deal with the betrayal, let's open up to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we're going to start with, let's say, the 19th verse. Do a little reading. It's 11:20. Watch me work, Nick. I don't care what it is. Chapter 26, Matthew. You know, all the different books, the four different books, they all have a different account of what happened to Jesus. Well, that's how it is with us a lot of times. We have different accounts of how we feel about Jesus, and that's a good thing. 19 says, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. That's a blessing when at least this time they're doing what they're supposed to do. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. Now remember, number 12 is the number of divine government. 12, divine government. Judas is with them. So what's so divine about Judas being with them? And he was going to betray Jesus. The importance of the fact is that Jesus still does things decent and in order. It didn't matter whether he knew that this man was going to betray him or not. But the word of God said that he would have 12 disciples and that Judas would be one of them. Remember what he said when he first said, I didn't come to destroy Scripture, but to fulfill Scripture. That's another thing that we have to do. We need to stop destroying the Scripture and fulfill it in our lives.
Amen.
So, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Offer me up. Amen. See, when you look at the word betray here, usually if one of your friends betray you, they tell on you or they throw you under the bus. That's what we consider being betrayed. They throw you under the bus or, you know, they tell somebody about something you gave them in confidence. Well, Jesus didn't give Judas nothing in confidence. So when you look at the word betray, it's not the same type of betray. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Well, my God. You mean y'all don't know? Judas knew.
Yeah.
There's a reason Judas knew that he was going to betray Jesus, because this is going to sound strange to you, but that was the reason that he was born. That was his purpose. Can you believe God would purpose that somebody be born in order to betray Jesus? That's because God searched his heart when he was in his mother's womb and realized that he would be willing to go through with it.
All right.
And he answered that, and he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me or surrender me. Now, you know, they were all looking now, because they all saw who dipped his hand in there with Jesus at the same time. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Hmm. Well, Judas, he believed that.
Hmm. Yep.
Because it wasn't long after the betrayal that he hung himself. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and he gave thanks. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Let's go over to the 46th verse of Matthew, same chapter. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's enough. "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from chief priests and elders of the people." When it talks about the staves, it's talking about big sticks. Amen. "Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whosoever shall I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast." That's what Judas is telling the Pharisees' guards. "Whoever I kiss, that's who you need to hold." Well, in studying, I realized something, that when you look at that word kiss, it doesn't mean, you know, I heard some folks preach this week about the kiss. It was a kiss of death. It wasn't talking about kissing him on the cheek.
Right.
When it talks about master and kissed him, the word kissed him is ostentatiously, it means he embraced him.
Okay.
I mean, he walked up, he grabbed it, and he hugged him.
Okay.
That's even worse. I'd rather he just kissed me on my cheek instead of hold me. And you know, an embrace, is you hold it for some time.
Yeah.
So all the time he's holding Jesus. Jesus, I know he's saying, "Man, here we go. It's that time."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
"And Jesus said unto him," he called him friend, "wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. He called him friend because it means comrade. Mm. That means you've walked with me, you've eaten with me, you've supped with me, we've prayed together, we've laid hands on the sick together, we've done all these things, yet here you are doing what my Father had already spoken in the Old Testament that you were going to do.
Yes.
But see, what Judas did, he betrayed Jesus, not God.
Come on now. Come on now.
He didn't betray God. He betrayed Jesus. Mm. Mm. That sounds crazy, don't it? Well, Jesus is God, most folks say. But no, he betrayed Jesus. That was his main purpose, was to surrender or cause Jesus to be captured in a certain way.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But there was one who betrayed God.
Come on now. Yeah. Come on now.
I hope I don't scare some of y'all, because we're going to Genesis. I ain't hit this for a while, but God began to show me something. I heard this Friday when one of the ladies was ministering. I heard that there was one that didn't betray Jesus, but he betrayed God. How's that? That's better. But he actually betrayed God. Open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. Well, first chapter. We're going to start with verse 29.
Okay.
No, we better start with verse 26. Well, we'll do nothing now. We want to make it plain.
Right now.
Genesis 1 and 26. "And God said, let us make man in our what?
Image.
After our likeness." Well, that's just a Hebrewism to say that they both are working hand in hand. It's actually the same thing. "And let them have," listen, you got to listen to these words very closely, because they have very, the meaning of these words is absolute fabulous. And it lets you know, it gives you in detail what the betrayal is all about. "And he let them have an dominion over the fish of the sea." Now remember, he said them. "And he let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, I don't know if most of you folks study your Genesis or you just read it, but you'll find out that in Genesis, I think it's in the sixth chapter, when God created, he said, and God created man and female, male and female. And when God created them, he called their name Adam. Eve already had a name. It was called Adam. The reason is because when you look at the word Adam in the Hebrew, it means counterpart. She was his original, she was his counterpart, not his slave. So that meant she had the same power, the same authority, the same dominion over the fish of the sea. She had the same authority over every creeping thing. Everything that he could do, she could do. And then it goes up. But see, you have to understand something. They are not yet in human form. They are spiritual beings. And God blessed them, and God said, wow, God blessed them and said, be fruitful. If you got a Bible, underline this part because we're going to go to it. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything living thing that moves upon the earth. When he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, he was saying, be fruitful in my image and multiply in my likeness.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Adam. Folks blame Eve. They blame Satan. But I got news for you. It was neither one of their faults. Satan was a patsy. I know some of y'all going, what is he talking about? And Eve got used.
Come on now. Come on.
That's quiet in the house.
Come on now.
29. And God said, behold, I have given you. Remember, the word given means appointed, ascended, or assigned. I have given you every herb-bearing seed. Remember, he has control over all these things. In which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you shall be for meat. In yielding, bearing seed, it means yielding seed or seeding seed. And to every beast of the earth and to every fowl. Now remember, you have to understand something. Adam is paying very close attention to what God is telling him. Very close attention to it. He said, what does this have to do with Easter? Because I'm trying to show you that the betrayal that took place in Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark started here first.
Come on now.
Judas betrayed Jesus. Adam betrayed God.
Come on now.
Jehovah, the creator.
Come on now.
Oh, boy. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the what? The sixth day. Remember, it started when God started talking about everything about Adam, and that makes Adam's name, or man, the number six. Six represents man. So a lot of times when you hear folks say, you know how you see 666 come up and they go, that's the number of the devil. I just laugh because I got tired of telling folks, that's not Satan's number. That's your number. And I got tired of explaining to them why that was their number. It's your number because it speaks of your humanity.
Amen.
Man was created in the sixth day. So, that's all that. So, let's jump down to verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. How many heard that? I'm going to read it again. in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was where?
In the earth.
Before it was in the earth. And every herb before it what? It grew. Why? The next verse explains itself. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain. Nothing could happen without rain. It couldn't grow without rain. That's why God hadn't put the stuff in the earth, because there was nothing to cause it to grow. Now remember what I told you in the 29th verse. It says, and behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you shall be for meat. Every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and everything that creepeth on earth, where there and there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. I told you he heard God. And he didn't just hear God, but he believed God, and he took God at his word. For those of you who ain't heard this, you better grab onto your seat. And the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, because there was not a man to till the ground. So if God didn't cause it to rain, verse 6 says, but there went up a mist from the earth. We just read where it said God did not cause it to happen. I give you authority over what? Over all the earth. The man, listen. Let me tell you something. Have you ever really, think about it. Man, in his intellectual state, is troubled. It's just trouble. The human nature has no compassion. Actually has no love. It's the love of God that's in your life. Amen. Thank God for the measure of faith.
Amen.
And at least allow you to love and to be kind. But most folks don't want to use that. So Lord God had not caused it. God didn't cause it to rain. So here's this man. Now remember, this is the betrayal of God. And he did it 6 times. Representing his humanity.
Come on now.
This is the first time. For the God had not caused it to rain. And see, the Lord God, meaning Jehovah Elohim, was there not a man to till the ground. But, that word but means and, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. When you look at the whole face, it means he changed the countenance of the land. Now that the ground was watered, guess what's about to happen? The seed got to grow. If the seeds got to grow, the herbs got to grow, all these things got to take place. Now, the animals that God has created have to be taken care of. But God said there was not a man to till the earth. Well, let me show you just how smart this man was. Now that he had caused a mist, or not a mist, but a watering of the ground, and everything now has the ability to grow, there's got to be someone to take care of it. God said, there's not a man to till the ground. Now he's got to have a man to till it. That was his first personal portrayal of God. He's about to make God do something because God's word never falls void. God's got to own up to his word.
Yeah.
It wasn't shortly after that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Here he is. God breathed the Ruach into his life. And when you see that, it's talking about, it means an article, or art. It says with art. When it talks about article, it means with art or article, a particular item or object, typically of a specified type. There was only one type of thing that could till the ground. Our boy Adam. Folks just assume he's just so stupid. He got tricked by Eve and the serpent at the tree. But let me tell you how smart our God is. And it said the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And listen to this. I'm gonna say it real slow. And there he put. We heard that. And there he put the man that he had just formed. The word garden in the Hebrew means fenced in area. What's the purpose of him being fenced in, seeing that God just formed him? And he has control over everything, dominion over everything. Why would God pick him up and put him in the garden?
Come on now.
Ask yourself. Because God always, that's a good word for it, God put him in jail. Because God always searches the intents of a man's heart. He had betrayed God for the first time. So God said, you gonna betray me? Okay, I'm gonna lock your butt up. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Now everything's taking place. Everything that he had talked about doing over in the first chapter, the 26th through the 28th verse, is now beginning to transpire and beginning to manifest itself, because now it's got to. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you look at the word pleasant, it means delight. When you talk about the tree of life, it's talking about a living thing. When you talk about the tree of good and evil, you're talking about something that's dead but yet living. Why is man still today choosing death over life? By not serving God. One. Let's look at number two. We know the story how God put Adam to sleep. He just didn't call him to sleep. He put him in a deep sleep. When it talks about the word deep, it means he was put to sleep in a way where he couldn't feel, sense, or remember anything once he came out of that sleep. That way he couldn't dictate surroundings. But he finna do something. See, what does man want most of everything to be? To get out. We want to get out. Some folks like being locked up. Some folks don't. We want to get out. We don't like being boxed in by people. We don't like being boxed in by our own ideas. We don't like being boxed in by our situations and our circumstances, and we want out. This man is in a circumstance and situation that he really wants out of. But he just can't walk out. There's only one way for him to get out, and that's for God to put him out. Remember, he's fenced in. He's locked in. The betrayal. Not Jesus, but God.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib. Now you say, well, why the rib? Because the rib is the most strongest part of bone in a person's body. That's why you hear the scientists and the psychologists say women can handle more stress than men. They can handle more pain than men. Because they were made from the strongest bone part of a man's body. I kind of beg to differ on a lot of that. But it is what it is. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, she is a woman. Listen to what Adam says. Remember, over here in Genesis, God said, with everything, and God said, the word said means to declare or appoint something or to change it. Remember, God has given him the same authority, the same dominion, the same power that they had. So he can open up his mouth and change anything. Adam says, when he sees a woman, God thought he was slick. He done made this woman without me realizing it. But he said, watch what I'm finna do. She shall now be bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. What he had just did was remove her, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of. In the process of doing that, he just reduced her authority. As far as God understood, her name was still Adam. She was still his sound counterpart. But he was working to make her his. He was a rascal. That was number two. When he betrayed God, he betrayed God's trust and God's confidence. Then he got really hectic with it. Therefore shall a man leave his father, fortify or forsake his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Not one spirit, like God had proclaimed, but they shall be one flesh. Folks, they got Adam with no children. And if you do deep research, you find out when it talks about leave his father and his mother. Ooh. Don't worry about it, it ain't gonna fall. That's the vibration from the organ. When you think about it, when you really study, you find out that when it talks about leaving his father and his mother, what father and what mother did he have? Who was his father and his mother? The same man that formed him was his father.
Yes.
And his mother, the breasted one.
Amen.
So who are we talking about leaving? And he was so powerful with his words. When you get married now, you hear the same thing. That a man and woman shall leave their father and their mother, and they shall cleave to one to themselves. But I stop saying and become one flesh. I change it to be one spirit.
Amen.
Because flesh, the carnality of man, don't do nothing but get us into trouble. Two. Let's go to three. I'm almost done. Three is. Tyrone. Let's go to number three. Look at the first. first verse says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now see the word subtle? It means the same thing as naked in the 26th verse of the second chapter when it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. The word naked means a rum. It's spelled it, but it means subtle. Means he was wise within himself. Serpent in trouble. Remember this. He had the authority to do what? To name every creature, everything he had authority over. So, where did the serpent get his name from? He was in the garden. Serpent in the Hebrew means nakash. It means a shining one. It doesn't mean an old serpent, but it means one that transformed an angel of light, like a glorious angel. So when they teach you that he was a snake, I doubt very seriously if Eve saw a snake, she would walk up the tree and talk to it.
Amen.
How many people in here, you see a snake, you're going to walk up and talk to it, even if it's talking to you? Your first thought, one of your thoughts is going to be, either I stomp it, I shoot it, I cut it, or I run from it. And in most cases, we choose the latter. We will run from it. But she was beguiled, bewildered by this serpent, because he was an angel of light. If you read Isaiah, it talks about Lucifer and how gorgeous he was and how beautiful he was. He was arrayed in diamonds and rubies and all the precious stones. And so I think I talked to him. His gleam alone would attract me. Because remember, they're no longer living by the spirit, they're living by their flesh. So now that she's moving by her senses. So she's attracted to the serpent because of her eyes. And boy, he was talking to her too. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. He's telling the truth. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye, see, good for food, taste, pleasant to the eyes, sight, and the tree to be desired, wanting, to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. I got another, this is free. It was not an apple. Remember, the tree represented what? Good and evil. It's talking about two different natures.
Amen.
And God said, when she touched it, the word touch in the Hebrew means when you touch something, you assemble yourself with it.
Yeah.
That's why God told him, don't touch it. Because if you touch it, it's going to assemble you. It's going to take you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the betrayal. And when the woman saw the tree with in the eyes and desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. I got to come down. What does it say? When she did what she did, it says she gave unto her husband. What does the next two words say?
With her.
He was with her. Come here, Sam. Let me use you as an illustration. You look like you could be an Eve. not being bad, but cute, okay? Okay, you stand right there. You're Eve, I'm Adam. You reach, you touch, you get from the tree. You decide you're going to give me some. You turn around and you give me some. Did you have to find me? Where was I at? So if I knew we weren't supposed to do it, why didn't I stop you?
My Lord. Stop blaming us. Amen, amen.
Why didn't I stop you from doing it?
Amen, amen. Amen.
That was the third way he rebelled against God. And she gave to her husband who was with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of they both were open, and they knew that they were naked. There was a reason he let her eat that, partake of that tree, because he realized something took place. When she touched that tree, and she took on the attributes and the characteristics of that tree, he realized that there was a change in her countenance. A change in her attitude.
Come on now.
And that was right. Guess what she was? She was a sorry guinea pig.
Right.
I'm going to let Eve do it. And if it don't kill her.
Right.
Then I might as well go ahead and give it a shot. But at the same time, they both realize now all of a sudden they know they're naked. Now they know they're something. I call them tricksters. So then they're going to get smart. They sewed fig leaves up together and made themselves aprons. Listen to this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? He already knew where he was. And he had already knew what he had did.
Amen.
But just out of curiosity, he said, Adam, where art thou? In the cool of the day. And so, what does Adam say? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I hid myself. Why are you hiding from God? Why are you afraid? Because you know you just betrayed him again for the third time. And poor Eve, she just got caught up in the mix. I was afraid because I was naked. I realized that I was subtle, that I was just as bad as the serpent that was in the tree, and that I had done what I did. So I decided to hide, but you couldn't really. And that's the same way we are today. We can't hide from God. I don't care what state, what country, what cave, what mountain. I don't care where you go. You cannot hide from him. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. Sees everything, so you can't hide. You can't hide from yourself. How are you going to hide from God? And so then God started going off. 15. Let's start at 12. Now we're going to play the name game.
Right.
The blame game. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? See, listen to this. If you listen closely to the Hebrew, the way it was dictated, God told Adam, don't eat of the tree. Adam told Eve not to eat of the tree. That's why she said, God has said, he didn't say God said to me, but we'll find out later on in the scripture that God said, I told you. And so Adam says, after God said, Who told you that? The man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Blame her. It's her fault. She should have never It's your fault, God. I'm betraying God. It's your fault. If you hadn't given it to me, I'd have never took 8 of the 3. But yet he was so quick to change her name from Adam to woman. But now he don't want no parts of her. So he blames her. And then he goes to Eve. He says, "Hey, Eve." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Which is a Hebrewism meaning of talking about being humiliated. Saying, "From this point forth you shall be humiliated." Then he began to lay stuff on the woman. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into 15 because we'll never get out of here. 16, unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow." Y'all better find y'all loud and beat him up. Don't beat your husband up. Thank you, dear. "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." See how that all changed? She was his helpmeet. He changed her name. He stood there while she partook of the tree. And now she's no longer his helpmeet, his counterpart. She's his helpmate. Look at the contrast, the change and the difference. Now she is to desire to be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, ain't a whole lot of that happening nowadays either. It depends on what woman you talk to. They figured that mess out. Adam set us up. We're going to reverse that curse. You ain't ruling over me. You better get somewhere and sat down. And he said unto Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife," and when it talks about hearkening to the voice of our life, it's talking about how he hearkened unto her countenance change. Not her voice, because she didn't say nothing to him. She just turned and gave him. But it was a change in the atmosphere changed, the countenance changed in her spiritual being that he noticed that God said, "You hearkened to that. You saw what happened."
Yeah, exactly.
You saw the change.
Yeah.
And you decided you wanted it too. That's what God, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. "And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee." See, it never said he commanded her.
Right, right, right.
It said, "I commanded." And we know when God said he commands you to something, it's a commandment. It's a prophecy. God commanded. That means don't you dare do it. But because he allowed Eve to do it first and allowed her to turn around and give it to him, but God said, "Thou shalt not eat of it. Curses the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Well, buddy boy ain't through yet. Give me about 10 more minutes. He's not through yet. Let's look at number 4. Number 20, the 20th verse. Now, he done changed her name from Adam to woman. Now, he's going to change her name again.
Yep.
Now, they done already sinned. Mm-hmm. They done cursed. They cursed already. Now, he want to change her name to Eve. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of what? And we understand that everything that's born from woman now is born into what? Sin. I don't care how cute they are, how cute they laugh, how smart they may be. It's a curse. They are born. We were born in sin. They're going to be born in sin. Everybody in this entire world, when they're born in the sin. He got us all cursed.
Amen.
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 That's why Judas' job was to betray Jesus so he could go to the cross and die for us, resurrect himself so that we don't have to stay dead.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. Lord.
In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter says, and the first man, Adam, was natural.
Yes.
But the second man, Adam, was a life-giving seed, was spirit, a life-giving spirit. So see, Jesus was the second Adam. Okay, let's go. So Adam, she changed her name to Eve because she was the mother of all living. But we know that after that point, the word Eve means life or life spring. We know that from that point on, everything that was born into the world was born into automatically sin.
Amen.
So God had already told him, replenish and multiply in the earth. In my what? In my image and in my likeness. Well, he changed all that because now everything that was born was going to be born after sinful man. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them, giving, showing them forgiveness and salvation because the aprons that they had made were not good enough.
Amen.
The skin represents the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Five. Look at what happened. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of
us.
Ain't that scary? To know good and evil. And now, lest we put forth his hand, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We will never be able to put send Jesus to the earth to abolish sin. He knew exactly what he was doing. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. Well, he got what he wanted. But see, look at how God's looking at his nature. God said, God placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned away every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to keep the boy out. Because God has searched his heart and realized, you know what, this joker will come right back up in here and eat of that tree. He's done everything he can to betray me, my confidence, my faith, and my word. And then we'll finish with number six. I call this the ultimate betrayal. Go to Genesis 5.
Yep. Amen.
This is the ultimate betrayal. This is when he decided he'd tell God, look here, God, forget you. I know you said to have multiply and to reproduce in your image, but I already changed Eve's name, so everything that's going to be born after that point is going to be born into sin. But I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to show you what I think about what your word said. Verse 1, chapter 5 of Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, listen. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So you know I wasn't lying about it. In the day when they were created. Listen to this. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his what? In his own likeness, after his own image. Is that what God told him to do? After God then created them in their image and in their likeness, he has reversed everything. But see, he couldn't do that unless everything born from Eve at that point was born in the sin.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
So now he's into having what? His own. Now he just made himself what the serpent already knew he was trying to do, that ye shall be as gods. He has become his own little god and his own little domain, because from that point on, everything in the earth is after his likeness and his character. until we find Jesus.
Amen.
And be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Amen.
So there was a plan. He had a plan. He had the ultimate betrayal, but God had the ultimate plan. It was called Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's why you see read scriptures like the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh, because there's a battle going on in us for supremacy on who we're going to serve. And that's when God went on to say, you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to serve man or you're going to serve God. You can't. That's the battle that's going on within us.
Yeah.
Constantly. Maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
That's when Jesus started teaching from the Beatitudes about the goodness and the love. Or then he went on to tell folks that when folks hate you, love them. When they despitefully use you, pray for them. These type of things. Because see, the flesh itself, the human nature would say, you hate me, I'm going to hit you back.
Yeah.
You dislike me, watch how much I dislike you.
Right.
That's the human nature. You never went through that before. Nobody ever hurt you, and all you could think about was getting back at them. That's not God, right? That's the human nature. That's what he did to us. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And that you might have more money. I have come to give you strength and ability and authority over your flesh, that you can resist it.
Yeah.
And do that which is right in the eyes of God, and not which is concerning you. The ultimate betrayal. He betrayed God. Judas only betrayed Jesus in human form. It's time for us to stop betraying God, don't you think?
Amen.
We say we love him, but we don't live for him. What are we going to do? We have to make up in our minds that regardless how I feel, what I see, what I hear, what I experience, nothing's going to shut up my praise.
Amen.
Because as long as you have praise and worship in God, you show forth your love for your God.
Amen.
And we have all enemies, but Jesus said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if I be for you, who can? And I like that part, because he said, even when you begin to, when you doubt yourself, I come into your life to give you strength so that you can use the knowledge and the power of God to overwhelm that doubt, overwhelm your discouragements, overwhelm your heartaches or your brokenness. You have the power to overwhelm them. It says, say unto this mountain, if you have faith in God, say unto this mountain, be it removed. We have a lot of mountains in our lives.
Yes.
And I got news for you, don't get it twisted. God not going to move it, but he'll give you authority and dominion over it so that it's going to affect your mindset and your peace. She said, that was a strange Easter morning message, wasn't it? I'm thinking you're going to hear about the resurrection. We did hear about the resurrection. You heard about the resurrection of man and the resurrection of God. And the resurrection of God is always greater than that of man. Because greater is he that's in you than this thing right here. This attitude, this disposition, this person that's in the world. The God in you is much greater than you are. All you've got to do is yield yourself to the authority, dominion of God's word that's in your life.
Amen.
It's going to cost you, though. It ain't easy. It's not easy. Because your mind is always working against you. Constantly. 24. You know your old man works harder than God does in your life? Because he works 24 hours a day. And you have to call on Jesus 24 hours.
Amen.
You don't have to call on that old knucklehead. He's there. He's just waiting for an opportunity to show you that you don't love God.
Amen.
and that you're not going to serve God.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
Everybody's.